Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst, the very worst of horror movies, and then we talk about them. My name is Luke Condo with Kate, and I'm joined by the regular, Mr. One and Only, Mr. Ten Hats. How many hats have you got?
I reckon 10, maybe more than 10.
Exactly.
Exactly 10. I've gone on a bit of a hat flurry recently and bought a few more, so, you know, there we go. It's Mr. Ben Errington.
Mr. Ben Errington. 10 and a half hats, Ben Errington.
Ten and a half hats. Yeah, what? How many hats do you own? I've never seen that hat that you've got on right now before.
This is my dad's hat.
Give it back to him.
We've got the same shaped head, so it worked out quite well. And I went to visit him, and this hat decided to come and live with me. And the other hat I've got is a cap that was Kat's dad's hat that he borrowed to me.
Yeah. Collecting dad's hats. Do they know that you take these hats, or do you just take them and go,
They see my head and think, I need to put something on that. And then I just end up with a hat.
Like when you see a coaster on a table.
See like a pair of bollocks out, you think, I better just cover yourself up.
Lad. A pair of what?
Bollocks.
A pair of bollocks. It's when you see a pair of bollocks just milling about, you go, cover them up. For love of God.
Pottering about.
Pottering.
Have you what have you been watching recently? You've been watching a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, I've been watching a fair few things. Not really horror stuff. I've kind of just been collecting things that I've kind of missed. Well, I say missed, but like a few cinema releases that I've kind of checked out. There's still a few things I want to see before the year is through to really round off 2018 in a lovely way. So I've had a few cinema trips. I've seen Widows, the new Steve McQueen film, film. Which was good. Nice. Yeah. I'd give it a solid 8.4 out of 10.
It's quite solid.
That's quite solid. I saw Sorry to Bother You.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, it's proper insane. Like, really, really mental. It kind of feels like Gondry. Eternal Sunshine a little bit, but then it's kind of, it's incredibly quirky. So, Boots Riley directed. Nuts. So I'd give that a 7.9 out of 10.
A bit squishier.
Bit squishier. What else? Creed 2. Saw Creed 2 last night, which was, I've only just seen the first one as well, so I kind of left that late.
How did it compare to the first one?
It's probably not quite as good as the first one, but I mean, it's got a lot going for it. It does feel like a real classic Rocky film in terms of the structure of the story,
Were you inspired afterwards to go for it?
I always feel inspired. It's got an absolutely wonderful training montage that rivals Rocky 4, I think. Is it Rocky 4, the one where he's doing all the stuff in the snow?
It's the mountain. That's the Ivan cabin. Drago one, that makes sense. Yeah.
Ivan Drago one, So it kind of, there are a lot of parallels to that film.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really good. And Michael B. Jordan is a great leading man. Got a lot of time for him.
He's got a lot of pecs. Like, he's got like eight. He's got an eight pack.
He's got an eight pack and he's got all the pecs going on, and then. You know, he's just got one of those faces where he's just like, wow, he's dark and brooding.
Yeah. Yeah. Handsome guy. What else?
I think that's all I've seen of note. I believe. Apart from that, I've been watching Maniac on Netflix, Jonah Hill, Emma Stone, miniseries. Nearly finished with it now.
Who made that?
That's, what's his name? Fukunaga. Oh, God, I'm just
Carrie
absolute.
Fukunaga.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Carrie Fukunaga.
Fucking hell, Carrie Fukunaga. Yeah, the dude who is going to be making a new Bond, am I right?
Interesting. Interesting choice.
Yeah, well, I know it's because Danny Boyle got the boot. But yeah, so Maniac, True Detective, he made Beast of No Nation, the Idris Elba film, and now he's on Bond 25, pre-production.
It's done all right. So, he's worked with Idris Elba before, has he?
Yes.
Does this mean
in his only other feature, I believe.
Does this mean that we can expect Idris Elba to be Mr. Bond?
Well, who's to say? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, we can, if he's worked with Idris, he's also worked with Jonah Hill. So maybe Jonah Hill will be the next Bond.
Okay. Now I'm in.
Maybe Emma Stone will be the next Bond. Maybe you'll be the next Bond, Luke.
Jamie Bond. Yeah. James Bold.
He'll be called James Bold. James, where did you get that hat? My dad.
James, dad hat Bond. Yeah. I think the only thing I've seen a couple of bits. I think we've been watching a lot of Impractical Jokers because that's just gone onto Netflix. And that's the kind of thing you can throw on and like just, you don't have to think at all. You just kind of chuckle along to it. But I remember I stuck on Jigsaw, like the new Saw film. That's on Netflix now. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I kind of gave up on the Saw films quite early.
You made
on.
The correct decision. There's so many things that annoyed me about this film. So
I saw the trailer and it looked like a really cheap made-for-TV movie or episode of something. It looked naff.
Naff is the word. But it's like, so it's basically four people wake up in a Jigsaw-style trap and it pulls them through a series of things. And at the same time, the police are trying to work out who is Jigsaw now because Jigsaw's dead and all this kind of stuff. But there's so many times where, like, it doesn't make any sense. It's so lazy. Like, there's one bit where you find out why everyone's been put into this situation because it normally works out that Jigsaw's testing them because of some bad thing they've done in their life. But one of them was like, James, you used to go out with your mates in a car and then you got everyone drunk and then jumped out of the car and then the car crashed and your friends died. That was your fault. But you never told anyone. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, how do you know? You're well certain. You're like about to kill this dude. Yeah. Like based on what? Like,
I just got a feeling.
Yeah, I got a feeling about you. You're a bad egg.
I got a feeling about you.
I'm going to rip your face off.
Nonsense. I think I got to like the third film of Saw and it was so, it had so many unnecessary twists at the end where I was just like, twists for the sake of twists.
Yeah.
Where that didn't make sense, weren't particularly interesting. Yeah. And I think I just went, I'm kind of done for it now. And I really enjoyed the original Saw.
I think you've got to think about it in the sense of like nipples. Like if you do one twist, it's quite pleasant. Any more twists and it starts to hurt.
Get off me!
Things start to go purple.
Just leave me alone. Things start to go purple. Delightful. Yeah.
But yeah, the first one, I want to watch it again. I've not seen it in a long time, but in my head, it holds up.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, as far as I remember, I mean, that when that twist or the reveal at the end, you know, I was really into it. I was like, no way, man! Oh, my God! But then, after a while. So I've never seen any others. And there's like seven, and then Saw 3D, and then... Wait, we're going to call this one Jigsaw. As soon as I saw there was a new one and people were getting hyped about it, I just said, absolutely no.
It was the first time I realised, Jigsaw, Saw, that works. As the word fits into that thing. I'm sure many people have thought of that before, but...
Nothing gets past you, mate.
It was a revelation to me.
I used to think the original Saw was called Saw because there was a saw in the middle of the floor. But... Well,
yeah. Wait, is that always... Yeah. Yeah,
That's why I thought. But then all the other films are called Saw, but there's not really any saws involved.
Sometimes they have like circular saws. There's that guy on YouTube. I can't remember his name, but he did the whole thing. He's like, "Did you see Saw? Yeah, Saw. Did you see Saw 2? No, but I saw Saw 4. What did you see Saw 3 before? Saw 3, 4. That's a video.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed by that because that sounds interesting. But your ability to recreate that as well—it's
been pretty. That's gone through my head more times than I've seen the movies.
You've been practicing it.
You know when you're in the shower and you kind of sing along to a song? Sometimes I just do that. You see so? Yes, or so.
What are you doing in there?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just embarrassed. Yes, or so. Yes, or so. Did you see so? I'm seeing so right now. I feel a bit sore.
Yeah.
I'm washing.
Yeah, man. But yeah, don't watch it. I'd advise not to.
Don't watch that. Have you seen anything else recently apart from the film we're about to discuss?
So quick look, Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the new Coen Brothers film.
I've still got to see that. That's on the list for December.
It's a bit slow going in places, but that's the tone of it. It's I feel like it's the movie equivalent of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Very nice.
Maybe it's a nice little, if you've been playing that game, this might be a nice little
accompaniment.
Side dish. It's good. There's a couple of sections in it that I really loved, and the rest are good, I'm probably not bothered watching them again.
Yeah, so it's like a sort of anthology series of shorts essentially in one film, right?
Six films, all musing about death, and there's like some that are more comedy, some that are more hard drama. Like there's one that's like got really cutting end to it that's just heartbreaking, but they're all really good. They're like really well made, and Tom Waits is in it and he plays like a gold digger guy, and he's great. It's fantastic.
Take money when I'm in need, that one.
He kind of wants to get married to a wealthy man and take all his money.
Who can blame him?
Yeah, exactly. But no, other than that, not really. Other than the film that we're going to talk about tonight, which took me three goes to get through it.
You watched it three times? Wow. I watched it from start to finish, front to back, cover to cover, three times. I know what you mean. I think it took me three, maybe four. And it's quite a short film. So
that's
for that
the recommended
to be said,
viewing times to get through it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, this film has always been kind of, when it came out, I remember thinking, oh, I'll give that a watch eventually. And it came out in 2005.
Yeah.
So in that time, it's always kind of been on the peripheral. Every time I hear about it, I go, oh, I should really watch that just to see what it's all about. And then finally, so 13 years later, I finally got around to watching it. And yeah.
You happy?
I don't know if I'd say happy.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go into my reasons, but
okay.
It's just so bland.
Well, the name of the film, as you probably know because you clicked on the episode, is Alone in the Dark. It's from 2005. Have you got the blurb on it?
There we go. Yeah. So Alone in the Dark is a 2005 Canadian, German, American action horror film, loosely based. I'm going to really focus on that loosely based on the fourth installment of the InfoGames video game series of the same name. It's directed by Uwe Boll, is that what we're saying?
I've been pronouncing it ew. Like,
ew, Boll. Uwe Boll. This film stars Christian Slater, Tara Reid, Stephen Dorff, loads of other people. And there even was a sequel released in 2008. Can you believe that? I can't.
I didn't even know that.
Nor did I. But here we go. Well, what's the bloody thing about? A detective of the paranormal slowly unravels mysterious events with deadly results. I mean, everything that's gone into that blurb is kind of... That kind of sums you up.
So this is the third in our video game adaptation chatter. And so we've got 1% on Rotten Tomatoes. That was my initial warning flag. And I was like, okay, this might not be a...
Whoa!
But then you think, okay, but like, no, because I mean... The Room, you know, there's Troll 2. There's these terrible films that are still kind of fun to watch because of how like bad they are. It's got 2.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and I was like, I would have expected more if that was the case on IMDb. If anything less than 7.5 out of 10, then you know something's gone wrong. The critics' consensus on Rotten Tomatoes says inept on almost every level. Alone in the Dark may not work as a thriller, but it's good for some head-slapping, incredulous laughter. See, I don't think that's even true. I found this film the most boring watch I think ever. Like everything's bearable. Like the special effects aren't fantastic; they're not terrible, but they're bearable. The dialogue's bearable. Everything's just like kind of
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I can bearable. Some of this dialogue.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Literally felt like a swift karate chop in the neck. It was just like, I guess it's not like it's not out and out ridiculous cheese.
It's not terrible enough to be funny.
Yeah, like, no, I think that's the point. Obviously, with bad films, sometimes there's a line of bad, so bad it's good,
and
so bad it's just boring, which I guess this film just does. It just completely wanders around aimlessly in the dark. I mean, like, there's literally nothing. I mean, I've played some of the games, not the really old ones, but I played like one which was on like Xbox, probably around about the same time, maybe a little bit earlier. And as far as I can tell, there is pretty much nothing that links it to those games. It's got Christian Slater, who's almost comatose throughout, in a leading role.
Yeah.
And sort of like just the most hammy dialogue from the supporting cast.
The exposition in the dialogue is insane.
The exposition, I mean, the beginning of this film.
The random voiceovers that start halfway through.
Yeah. And I mean the action, the CGI, the gore, if you can call it that, it just felt like a hodgepodge of just nonsense. Where I was just
literally
just like,
the new metal section.
There was so much new metal. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the soundtrack for this film. Do you know about the soundtrack?
No.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the soundtrack for a second. Right. Maybe it's not the right time to talk about the soundtrack, but
the soundtrack
is a two-disc extravaganza. On disc one, 19 songs. On disc two, 20 songs. So that's 39 songs, and most of it is new metal or like industrial metal or like just or thrash. Basically, is a who's. I don't know how this has happened, because how many of these songs do you even hear in the soundtrack? So we've got Fear Factory, In Flames, Machine Head, Soul Work, Dillinger Escape Plan, Meshuggah, Nightwish, Cradle of Filth, and then All Shall Perish, Dying Fetus, some band.
You know, a few years ago, I'd listen to the hell out of that.
Oh my God, hell yes. I mean, I would definitely listen to it, but it's just so bizarre that this soundtrack is, it's just a really weird.
And also, not all of those songs appear in the film, do you know?
Of course not. No, of course not. I think you probably count like two or three new metal sections.
I remember the outro credits.
But also, 2005, is this even the right sort of era for when new metal was really big in films? It was sort of like, I thought it was like 2002 to 2004, maybe, if you're lucky. But this was, like, when I looked at that soundtrack, I just thought, I wonder if anybody owns that.
Yeah.
It would be fantastic if they did.
Yeah. I want to own it. I might get it on Spotify, give it a go. But this, so I was doing a bit of research into Uwe Boll, and then I saw someone make some comments and say he's doing a producer's thing, where, you know, the film The Producers, where the idea is they make a bad film, and then they make money off the bad film. But I don't think that's true, because why would you use IP in that case? Like, if you're just trying to make a bad film that you didn't want to make money on,
no,
you wouldn't use a named IP.
No, you wouldn't. And I guess you wouldn't. It's a weird one, because I guess Alone in the Dark has never been massively popular, especially in the survival horror genre. I mean, I know it's one of the games that initiated that survival horror genre, but it's never been like a huge sort of franchise.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there was a potential like a reboot, but it's just a weird one. And obviously, he's done House of the Dead as well. He's done Far Cry. So clearly, like, getting hold of these video game IPs, like, can't be that difficult, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's he playing at?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy. But this film, I don't like to make fun of films. Like, well, I guess I do in some ways. But I don't like to like rip into something where I feel like someone's already been piled on top of. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. It feels like this is going to be one of those films where we can't say anything that hasn't been said hundreds of times before, because it's been absolutely slated. But I guess we can just talk about our personal experience watching the film, which for the most part was just boredom. But I mean, there were definitely some parts where I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I'm just so bizarre. Well,
halfway through, I completely lost the plot. Like, literally, I have no idea what was going on.
100%. I had no idea what the stakes were. I had no idea what was the aim of this film. What did they have to do? Even though they kept like telling you what they were going to do next.
Yeah.
You know, the exposition was there was absolutely loads of it.
Even though that kept happening. Oh, she's in a bad mood because her husband's been missing for 5 years. Like a really weird way to introduce someone.
There's some really, really weird moments in this where I kind of felt like, I want to rewind that and watch it again, but I can't be bothered.
Yeah, yeah. Is it like, how long was this film? It felt about like 3 hours, like 2.5 hours or something.
That's how long it felt, but I don't think it was. It was about an hour and 30?
20.
It felt like 3 hours, yeah. It felt like, imagine, you paid to watch this in the cinema.
Adapt, it even got a cinema release, did it?
I think it did. In my head,
it feels like a straight to DVD sort of jobbo.
It could have potentially been that, but I do apologize. This was my suggestion. But to be fair, when I was thinking about video game horror movies, after Silent Hill Resident Evil, I did kind of lose the plot a little bit and go, that exists.
Yeah. But we watched it. I'm going to struggle a little bit with the plot, like I said.
I don't think there's absolutely no way we're going to be able to go beat by beat. So let's just keep it vague,
okay,
as the film kept it.
Okay,
but if you remember, how does the film open?
Opens with a really long text scroll and a guy talking. In fact, so I couldn't find the plot summary to remind myself what happened, so I went onto a user on IMDb, so like a user put their own plot summary, and they talked about the opening was the narrator reads a long boring story about the existence of an ancient Native American civilization which disappeared for unknown reasons. Like it just seems to go on and on.
So long. It's probably a couple of minutes long, which is a long time to, you know, introduce a movie. I mean, even when a film opens with like one or two lines, even now I find it a bit. I go, I'd rather just show me.
Yeah, you know?
Show me what's going on.
Yeah, and then we're introduced to. Oh, there's a kid. Yeah, so Christian Slater as the kid is. So he's dreaming or something. He's like in a power cupboard.
And then he's in the plane
or something.
There's some creatures. Then he's on a plane and he has a weird exchange with a kid where a kid says something like, my mom told me not to be scared of the dark. And he goes, you got to be scared of the dark, kid, because that's where there's loads of horrible shit. Or something. He says something like that. And the kid goes, what? and then he gets in a taxi after he's been in there. And he has a really, really weird exchange with like the taxi driver. But the taxi driver is sort of just, so what do you do? You wouldn't believe me.
And the taxi
you wouldn't
believe like
me
a,
if I told you.
Like a kid, like a geeky kid or something, who likes to listen to new metal, I imagine. That's the target audience of this film.
He's listening to Fear Factory in the car.
And also, so I guess we right in near the start here, we've got like a chase sequence. There's a big, bold guy who was a weird, like, he looks like a henchman sort of guy, but why would they dress him like...
So he's dressed in like a white short sleeve shirt, which is too big for him.
Yeah.
And sort of like beige slacks.
Yeah.
He's got like really shitty sunglasses, which like wrap around your head. He's got like a little goatee. So he's supposed to be like a henchman or something, but he just looks like Kenny, who lives down a road, who collects figurines.
Yeah. Also, what's his name? The costumes are crazy. I mean, Christian Slater's wearing a long dark coat, so you know he's a badass, like, and he's a paranormal investigator type. I think he's got like a, he's carrying, I don't know, an item.
He's carrying like a bit of tat that he's found, which is good for some reason. But yeah, this fight sequence, fighting with the dude, was really weird.
Like the physics didn't seem to like.
No.
Work.
Like there was a lot of like just jumping and just flying up. It was just very, very strange.
And
because like,
go on.
I don't know. It was just odd. And then I just found it like the most cringeworthy fight sequence I think I've ever seen in a film.
Well, it was bizarre because it was kind of second rate Matrixy kind of fighting. Like there's one bit where he's on the floor and he hovers up and like horizontally. And kick without like doing anything with his arms, not like, you know, swinging back and like leaping up out Bruce Lee or anyone does it. Like he kind of hovers up foot first and kicks the item out of the guy's hands. And like he's doing this kind of Matrix like wire stunt stuff that they never do again. So it's almost like he used all of his like special move powers in the start of the film, and then they ran out of budget for that stuff.
And then he just started going, "Oh, get off!"
From then out, it's like all guns and like there's no more Matrix fighting moves. A bit of bullet time, I think, in this. Like, since
there's
the
so much
effects,
bullet time,
obviously,
man.
Obviously, some money like has gone into this. Like, it's not like low budget enough to for me to go, you know, cut it a bit of slack. It's not like it's got enough budget to be a decent film.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what happens after that? He goes to the museum and hooks up with Tara Reid. And it's really weird. How she is introduced is weird because...
She punches him in the face.
She goes to him, "Oh my God, it's you." And she like holds him and she goes... And she punched him square in the face and said, "I thought you were dead." Tara Reid in this is misty-eyed, open-mouthed, useless.
Yeah,
she is just like, she's not believable as a curator.
Some sort of archaeologist assistant curator.
It looks like she's in a, no disrespect to, actually, plenty of disrespect to Tara Reid. She looks like she's in like some low budget porno parody where she got like a pen behind her ear and like her hair bunched up. And she's all like, "Oh my God." It's just, I mean, she's never been good, has she? But still, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was in American Pie, and then that.
I think she was all right in American Pie. That was like her magnus opus.
But that was her playing the same person. Like, she's been that same person ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're like, right, it worked in American Pie as an attractive young lady, you know, with
husky-voiced
girl who don't take no shit. Basically, you're going to do that, but now you're an assistant curator for a museum. Okay, yeah. I got it.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens? Okay, so
there's like some other professor now who's like involved in the museum somehow. He finds like a coffin made of gold somewhere on the ocean floor. But then, like the person who's like the captain of the ship that's helping him collect it, tries to steal it.
Yeah.
But then Hudgens manages to like somehow survive. Like everyone else ends up dead for some reason. There's evil spirits in it or some shit.
Yeah, so there's a
mysterious creature.
So there's like zombie-ish sort of creatures, not like people who are like zombies running around. And they don't look like they were dancers. Like they look like normal people, which you need if you're going to have creatures, you have dancers.
You got a tiny dancer, don't you?
And then there's also they look a bit like the things from Pitch Black, I guess. A bit more dragony.
I think they're never consistent, these things. There's always some sort of like weird dragony beast that kind of is sort of like in the dark. I don't know. I was a bit like, what the hell is that supposed to be?
And they go invisible and stuff, and then loads of them attack, and then the lights cut out, and then we get like the first big new metal scene, and it's just like they're just shooting guns.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes.
They're shooting guns and like the flashes from the muzzle of the gun is like lighting up these creatures and just it looks like cheap ass video game FMV. It reminded me in places of, despite being one of the best games of all time, the original Resident Evil has an opening which is like a live action opening.
I know what you
which
mean.
Is obviously super cheesy.
Yeah.
Action movie, Barry Burton, as they introduce each character. It reminded me of that. This moment reminded me of that, but obviously 10 years later. And
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that goes on for like 10 minutes. And we're introduced to Bureau 713, which is this sort of, I don't even know what they actually do. I guess they're like BPRD. They're a sort of...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What are you guys even doing around here? What are we paying you for? Well, we're just milling about.
Yeah.
Shooting our guns if any like creatures turn up for some reason.
I was also getting some Relic Hunter vibes from it. I don't know if you...
Yeah. I felt a little bit like that, yeah.
They've stolen the props from Relic Hunter, I think. Yeah. Stephen Dorff, who I only really know from Blade. I remember him being pretty good in Blade. Yeah. But in this...
He is without a doubt the best actor in this film. Like, he... isn't great in this film,
yeah,
but I still kind of think I still kind of believe his character 10 times more than I believe anybody else in this film,
yeah,
especially Christian Slater. Like, he's got a long leathery trench coat on and like
leather trousers
are like a wife beater. He's got like the biggest fucking revolver,
yeah.
Which just seems like overkill for someone who's like a paranormal investigator. I know he's coming up against all these creatures and stuff. I know that. But he's got a massive revolver that's going to break your wrist if you fire it.
Yeah. Okay, so we get the impression that Christian Slater used to work with Stephen Dorff and Bureau 713, but he quit because he didn't like it.
The benefits system wasn't good enough.
Pension scheme was standard, 4%. Shit. Yeah. No stocks and shares.
Oh, my God.
And the car parking situation, you know, terrible. But so what happens? Like, he says to Stephen Dorff, yo, man, there's these creatures knocking around. We need to go to like a big thing in the ground, big hole in the ground somewhere.
Yeah.
It's next to a big car park, I think. And he's like, oh, good, because I quite know it's fucking park my car.
There's a massive car park. There's absolutely fans of spaces.
Yeah.
Thank God.
At this time, we're introduced to more characters who I just instantly didn't care about or want to know about. There are other agents who get their own little mini side stories, A and B story sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, one of them can't get the lights to work. One of them gets trapped in a van.
Yeah. There's like, isn't there like a dude who works at the museum as well, who's got like a bit of a...
Yeah.
Like a security guard dude who's also got a bit of a story where they're like,
He
gets like eaten by something.
He gets covered of one liners in, I think. I think he ad libs a bit, and then Uwe Boll was like, that's solid gold, mate.
That's absolute solid gold, mate. I'm putting that in. You're going to make you the lead of this.
Method acting there.
Yeah. I'm actually a security guard.
Yeah, I'm working here tonight. Just popped in early. And then, so they go to the big hole in the ground. They set up loads of lights, but the lights don't come on. And there's a big wave of the monsters. So they
like live in the dark and they hate the light.
I don't know where they've come from, really. I don't know where the coffin thing, what happened with that.
I don't know what they want, what their end goal is, to take over the world. I don't know how this is related to the Abkhani, who are like this old...
Yeah.
Old, like, tribe.
Earlier in the original, the dialogue, the voiceover at the start, it said there was an open bit between the world of light and dark, and some of the evil seeped through. So I guess these beasts are the seepage of evil, and they're sort of... I don't know why they're running around.
The last line of defense, Christian Slater, and then the Bureau of...
Yeah,
the Bureau 713. They're like, we've been sorting all this shit out for years, and let's sort it out again.
Yeah, but And then they go into the hole. So Christian Slater, Stephen Dorff, and Tara Reid, they go into the hole and they're going to close the gate or whatever with a bomb. Standard practice.
Yeah. What are you going to close that gate with? I'm just going to close it. No, bomb it!
Yeah.
But that might... might make the hole bigger.
Yeah, that's how bombs work.
Bomb it! Just close the door, let us on a hinge. Close the door here, it's got a lock on it. Bomb it! That's pretty much it.
They get into some scraps. There's a guard that goes with them who gets eaten by a worm, like a sandworm thing.
Yep, there's a sandworm that goes in his... Up his doo-wop.
Yeah, he gets killed. So... there's like the archaeologist guy who's got a worm in his gut as well. I don't know what happened to him.
That's unrelated to all the monsters. He's just got tapeworm. That is.
Okay. Yeah. So he's probably like eating, you know, thousands of calories and not putting a single pound on, the lucky devil. And so he goes off to live his life as America's Next Top Model. And
yep.
So Christian Slater, Stephen Dorff, they have a bit of a I don't like you, but I respect you sort of relationship.
Look, I don't like you, man, but I respect you. I respect your long leather coat, your leather trousers. What shoes you got on? Reebok Classics.
I respect that.
I respect that. I don't agree with it, but I respect it.
I'm an Adidas man myself.
Exactly. Puma, get out of here. You don't speak like that at all. Yeah,
Puma.
You don't speak like that. Yeah. Puma! Yeah. So at this point, now we're discussing it and my mind is wandering. My mind was doing so much of that while watching this film. I couldn't concentrate for more than like a minute without going, oh, who's uploaded something on Instagram then? Well, there we go. And literally, you don't pay attention to this film for like 10 seconds. You look back and you're screwed.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely screwed.
Yeah. That happened to me. I was doing the same thing. One time, I think I fell asleep, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not too sure if it was just the film.
Like, I think I was
missed 10 minutes.
I think when I watched this film, it was a week when I was feeling particularly tired. You know, where you're like, God, I'm tired by like a ridiculous time. So I think every time I put it on, immediately made my eyes so heavy. I think I even dreamed about Christian Slater at one point. I think he was in my dream, like talking to me. Weird. That's true. I did actually think that. I had a dream and Christian Slater was in there going, look, this film sucks. You need to turn it off.
Yeah, they use this film as a sort of medicine for insomniacs. Just pop that on.
God, yeah.
Straight to sleep. It's like Counter Sheep. Try to follow the logic of this film. And they're sort of going through it in the head and then they just start to wear out.
Then you go, right, tell me, what's the end goal? What do these characters want to do? What do these guys want to achieve? What's the bad thing that could happen? What are they trying to avoid? I literally have no clue. Things are happening all over the place, but what they mean, no clue.
Yeah. They go into Stephen Dorff and Christian Slater and Tara Reid. They go into this room, and it's meant to be the other dimension, the dark side. It's a big open chasm, and you see thousands of these things in the distance. Moving across.
They waver.
You go, and then they wave back. It's weird that none of them come to attack them or none of them do anything. They just sort of stand there. And then they set the bomb. But, oh, dear, the timer's not... They forgot to set the timer or something.
I think they can't detonate it. They run away. They can't detonate it because they're too far away for some reason. The signal's jamming. So Stephen Dorff... For seemingly no reason, is suddenly willing to give up his life to make sure this thing closes. Like, I'd be like, nah, let's just see. If we can't close it, let's just see what happens. The world's taken over by monsters.
The monsters aren't trying to get out anyway. The only monsters have any problems are these monsters up here trying to get in. Like, that's fine. Let them in and we'll close the door.
Yeah, so he runs all the way back, doesn't he?
Well, he sets off the thing, and then they all run away, but he looks like he's not going to make it. But then he does make it, I think. Like, we see him sort of escape it. But then this is the weird bit. So, Christian Slater and Tara Reid go out a different exit, and then it's suddenly day. And then we suddenly realise that, like, the orphanage where he grew up was one of the, like, next to one of the entrances to this hell hole thing.
Yeah.
And there's like a dead nurse in the cupboard or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think they were trying to go for some sort of big reveal about like his past.
Yeah.
But
it was shit.
I don't know. I didn't know what it meant. Oh, and then right at the end, they have the walking through a desolate city.
Yeah, but what did that mean? So like they blew up the thing, avoided all the creatures coming out. Yeah. But then when they come out, everybody's gone. Like everybody's dead. The city's abandoned. They're walking around the streets. Yeah. And then there's just like an absolutely awful bit where it's the final shot is a bit like, and it's a bit Evil Dead-esque where like something comes towards them and then suddenly they turn around to it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Those creatures, how can they be out in daylight if they were hurt by light? Day.
Yeah.
Because the gate hasn't been closed properly.
It's
doors left
like,
open.
Like they got run over at the end. They're like, yeah, oh, there's no humans here. Oh no, there isn't. There's a van.
What are you doing?
Get on the fucking road.
He just pulls out his massive revolver. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
And then he spends the rest of his time in prison. And that's how it ends. So, not the best. Oh, look at the end of the comments on this guy's plot summary. He says, aren't the monsters hurt by light because the gate hasn't being closed properly. The door has been left open for a second installment. In brackets, no, please. So it's just there as confusing for other people.
But there is a second installment.
There is.
I'm not going to watch it. Are you going to watch it?
No. Not on your Nelly. Okay.
We just have a look briefly at what the second film is allegedly about.
Yeah.
Yeah? You seem pretty excited about that.
Let's have a look.
So, when the night falls and the creatures of the dark are crawling out of the shadows, there is only one man who stands between us and evil, Edward Carnby.
That's him. That's our hero.
Great, that's it. He's played now by Rick Yoon.
Who's Rick Yoon?
Rick Yoon is the Asian dude who is the villain in Die Another Day. Remember the one with like all diamonds in his face?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've made Edward Carnby Asian now. I mean, why not? Lance Henriksen's in it.
It's funny when you look at the picture of the original game as well.
Like the really old game.
Edward Carnby looks like Nigel Thornberry.
Yeah, he does. Cross between Nigel Thornberry and Ed Flanders.
At some point, they decided to make the game more Resi.
Yeah, they did. Well, I think Resi kind of took some elements from the original.
Hmm.
Alone in the Dark, so I think it's kind of influenced a few different things. But yeah, it did eventually go a bit Resi, but
a bit Resi, yeah.
As far as one of the games I played was pretty good.
Did you see they're doing a reboot of Resident Evil film adaptation?
I sure did. Yeah. So apparently it's going to be a lot more like Resident Evil 7.
That makes sense, and it's going to be directed by the guy who made 47 Meters Down and The Strangers Pray at Night.
Oh, right, okay. I thought James Wan was possibly going to be attached to it, or is he just going to be a producer?
I don't know. I haven't seen Strangers Pray at Night, but 47 Meters Down was all right.
I haven't seen that either.
It was all right.
Sharky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that could be pretty cool. A reboot would be good. Hopefully it won't suck, and then they make 6 sequels to it anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad as the thingy-majobby ones. But, dude, I've got some trivia. This is quite hard to do.
Jesus. I'm impressed.
Number one, what did Alone in the Dark win in 2005?
Razzies?
Close.
The Razzies?
It won a Stinker Award at the Stinkers in 2005.
Very nice.
Number two, Ubal claims to have visited how many Michelin-starred restaurants within a span of 10 years?
500.
120. Apparently he's well into his food, and he's since retired from filmmaking now, has opened a restaurant and has been getting favourable reviews. Apparently he's doing quite well.
Favourable?
Yeah, he's even said that it turns out he had to open a restaurant to get some good reviews. So,
well, yeah. Who could have thought it?
Yeah.
Who could have thought it that filmmaking wasn't your forte, Uwe Boll?
Yeah.
Uwe Boll.
What number two, number three? What is the biggest amount UE lost on a film, as in the gross profit to compared to the budget?
10 million. No, it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than that. Just from looking at your face.
$50 million. Lost, $50 million lost on something called In the Name of a King, a Dungeon Siege style.
Jason Statham. Well, really? Jason Statham's in the original. I haven't seen it. I've just seen it. $50 million. How miffed you feel when you lose a tenner?
I feel pretty miffed when I lose a pound coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I was reading about it. So he doesn't, the way he, the reason he makes films is because the Germany has a tax credit, which is similar to England. That might change soon. Where if you're a business, you pump 50 million, well, let's say £10 million into a film, you will get 5 million, 40%, 50% of that knocked off of your taxes for that financial year. So if you're kind of making your money back in a way, I think. So he's probably done all right. He must have made his money somewhere else, and then he's just got all this money to pump into this.
Yeah.
But okay, number four. You've got to be kidding me. What ridiculous thing did UE do to film critics in 2006?
What ridiculous thing did he do to them? He'd done a shit in a bag and then he left it on one of their doorsteps.
Probably. I imagine that's probably true. But that's not the answer I'm looking for today. So in 2006, he challenged several of his critics to a boxing match.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know this.
And then proceeded to pummel their heads off. He, like, beat them all up.
He beat them up?
Beat them all up, yeah. So he won at the end, really.
I'd rather see a dramatic retelling of that in film, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that'd be quite cool. And number five, who did UE originally want for the lead roles of Alone in the Dark?
Who did he originally want? Someone pretty famous.
Yes, correct. It's
Wesley Snipes.
Well,
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dolph Lundgren,
Christian Bale and Jessica Alba. He wanted Christian Bale and Jessica Alba to play.
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
And then around
2005. What year did Batman Begins come out? 2005, I think.
Yeah. That's what he can do. So he wants Christian Bale and Jessica Alba to play the lead roles, but he ended up with Christian Slater and Stephen Duff. Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
Need to rate the film.
Oh. Do I have to? I mean, what is the lowest possible rating we do on Horror Hangout?
I wouldn't want to give a film an F. It feels, I don't know, kind of mean. What about S?
What, S for shit?
Shite.
What, are we saying F? Are we saying F is the very least we can give a film?
I guess so. We normally do A. Yeah, because I think that's the way Andy worked out the percentages. The A to F. Right?
I'm going to give it an F then, man. I have to because, you know, I think that's the most extreme dislike for a film. Like, I was just so, so bored.
It's weird, actually, because when I think about it, I wasn't actively hating this film. I was just bored. But Jigsaw, I was actively angry about that because that had some, like, chops to it, but it was just really lazy. And like,
it's because sometimes you feel like a film, like, it gets a lot of plaudits and it's popular and it's making money and it's, you know, it's just doing well at the box office and people are like, oh my God, have you seen the new Saw film? The new Saw film's out, all this shit.
Oh, did you watch it? Yeah, Saw. Can't help it. It's good.
You see all that shit that comes out with it, which is basically just like the hype, the whole hype train. And I go, you know, what looks nonsense. And even though it gets absolutely panned critically, it probably still made a decent amount of money. And then you just think about all the lazy, lazy things that go into it, like the stuff you explained.
Yeah, I bet. Huey put a lot of effort into getting this thing done. Like, at the end of the day, he's made not just one film, he's made a lot of films. Whereas I kind of feel like the filmmakers behind Jigsaw were phoning it in. I was at work today and I was overhearing a conversation about The Last Jedi and I heard someone say, it's the worst film I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not a massive fan of The Last Jedi, but I was like, you haven't seen Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, you haven't seen enough films to think
yeah.
that.
Yeah, totally, yeah. This film is inept. The
worst film they've ever seen. Look, I'm not going to attack that person that you work with, but that's just not true. Unless they've watched
no film,
The Last Jedi, one film. The Last yeah. Jedi, and The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah. This is the worst film I've ever seen. You've only seen two films.
Well, yeah, but you got to rank them somehow.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an F as well.
Yeah.
Oh. But I feel bad about it. I hope. Let's have a look, actually. Uwebo, he's got to have a semi-decent film.
I hope he learned his lesson.
Wait, I suppose he's sorted it out now. He's in the restaurant business.
House of the Dead got absolutely critically panned. He made that something about the king, whatever you said. He's directed a lot of stuff. So he directed Blood Rain, so another...
Hang on a sec, what's this? Fuck You All, The Uwebo Story, 2018. 9.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
It's got one review and it's his, wasn't it? He couldn't even give his own film 10. He gave his own film 9.4.
I don't understand what that is.
Fuck you, Uwebo. Maybe it's not made by him. So he directed all three Blood Rain films.
I've never seen any of those.
Blood Rain, Blood Rain 2 Deliverance, Blood Rain The Third Reich, Assault on Wall Street.
Fucking hell. His highest rated film on Rotten Tomatoes is 44% of King Cobra in 2016.
King Cobra.
Yeah.
It isn't even down on his filmography page.
Well, he's just a producer. Oh, executive producer. He probably just put money in. Oh. That's
What's his best direction?
It doesn't say on thingy because it's just all mixed
Far
up.
Right. He also made it. Oh, it's just, I'm looking at all these posters and it literally makes me feel sick. He was in a film called In the Name of the King, which had Jason Statham, Ron Perlman, Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds.
Assault on Wall Street. He was the director of that, and that's got 25% of Rotten Tomatoes. I think that might be his highest rated, only directed.
There we go. Did you also see Alone in the Dark, which he directed?
Did I see Alone in the Dark?
Oh, sorry, no. House of the Dead. Sorry. They're based on the games.
No.
So there was the first one, and there was House of the Dead 2. But yeah, that was utter dog shit as well.
Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain 2 has 0% of Rotten Tomatoes. Wow.
Well, and
some stinky tomatoes.
There was a House of the Dead 2. We're just looking at the cast. Don't know why I'm telling you this. There was someone called Sticky Fingers was in House of the Dead.
Ah, Sticky Fingers, yeah. From the Sticky Fingers story. Yeah, I know him.
he's a rapper. His real name's Kirk Jones, but his stage name is Sticky Fingers. And Sticky Fingers. What could he mean by that?
Well, he must be in Sticky Bandits.
Or he's been mucking around with a Pritt stick.
Mucking around with a Pritt stick. We've all done it. You know,
we've all done it. Don't sniff it.
We all did that thing where we're making Warhammer models and we put the glue in our fingers and glue our fingers together. That's what he's done.
And it's satisfyingly pulling them apart.
Yeah. Oh, it's never going to come apart again. And you get a little panic moment. So when you put your finger in a bottle and you think, oh no, I've gone too far. And you suddenly panic. You can't get your finger out. Oh, yeah. Fuck me. Well, that's going to have to live like that now.
Imagine that moment when you're in A&E. Feel like a right twat. He got a saucepan on his head again, didn't he? Does that happen anymore? Do some people get saucepans on their head anymore?
I didn't know that happened. How do they get stuck on their head?
It happens in cartoons, doesn't it?
Yeah. They must have, must be making caramel or something. Like something super sticky.
But then, if they're making caramel, why have they ended up putting it on their head?
Well, it's a cartoon, isn't it? There's no logic there.
Oh, you're going to try and reason with me, and then you're just going to hit me with that. It's a cartoon, mate. Get over it. God. Take life so seriously.
Okay. Speaking of taking life seriously, what are we doing next week? Oh, we're doing an end of year roundup thing.
Yeah, so I think we're going to do a little roundup for the end of year. I guess we're going to talk about our favourite horror films of the year, but also new discoveries, what we're going to do now we've done finished the list, because we finished the list and then we've kind of been treading water a little bit, haven't we?
Yeah, I feel like we need a project in place.
We need a project, we need a plan in place. I know we've discussed perhaps watching a series of films by the same writer or the same director.
Uwebo. Possibly. We're just going to keep doing Uwebo movies.
Yeah, because I think if we tackle another list, I think we're possibly going to end up, you know, it's going to have a lot of the same films on it, but, you know, I'm sure we could work something out. Any suggestions, of course, by listeners would be nice. If there's anything you want to hear us review,
I think we could take several of the best of horror films ever lists.
Yeah.
And we could collate a B list out of all of the ones that we haven't seen on there.
That could be a good idea.
Yeah.
The B list.
B list, yeah. Did you know B movies, that term, comes from when you think of a B movie, you think of like Roger Corman movies and that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
But B movie just meant the film that used to play before the big movie, like the big premiere. Yeah. Roger Corman films were never B movies, they were always A movies. Oh, just leave you with that. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be thinking about that all night, man.
Yeah. I think Rosemary's Baby was a B movie, wasn't it? I think that was paired up with something else when it came out.
Oh, really?
And The Wicker Man. I think The Wicker Man was a B movie. For, I mean, that's not what you think of about. When you think about a B movie, that's not what comes to mind.
Definitely not.
Tits and folk songs.
Tits and, yeah, and Burning.
Yeah. Okay, man. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe. And thanks to my co-host, Ben, for being a right or a dude.
Thank you so much, Luke. Thank you so much for everything.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.